As you can see, we're going to be looking at the abomination of desolation. We're not talking about the installation of the Biden administration. This is something different, although it might be applicable. There's a little bit other things that have to happen before that. And we're at the middle of the tribulation time. Not chronologically right now, but in the book of Revelation, chapter 11. And we're about halfway through the book of Revelation. And, of course, all of these are online. If you'd like to go pick them all up and look at them, both Vimeo, Sermon Audio, YouTube, they're all over the place. So you can watch them as you see fit. What we're going to be focusing on today is understanding what the Antichrist does in the middle of the tribulation and how that helps us understand why the Jews respond the way they do. Now remember, in dispensationalism, according to the book of Jeremiah, God is going to restore the nation of Israel during this last half of the tribulation. He's going to do that by saving Jews. Now, some people would like to think, well, God's just going to save a whole bunch of them. They're not going to have any choice in the matter. No, God's going to save people. God always gives them a choice. In fact, you have to have a choice to get saved. Salvation is a faith, and faith is a decision. So he's going to send to them, and what's going on here is going to send to them two witnesses and 144,000 Jews sealed in heaven back to earth to preach to the Jews for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Now the Jews are still looking for the Messiah, political deliverer. The Antichrist comes in the beginning of the tribulation time. He comes riding on a white horse, and he reveals himself in a certain way, but he comes promising peace when he's going to bring destruction. Of course, that's what he does. So what the Antichrist does in the middle of the tribulation is referred to in other portions of Scripture as the abomination of desolation. And we're going to go over to Daniel tonight, or this morning, look at that. So you can turn in your book of Daniel, chapter 8 is where we'll be. Now, would you agree that all Jews are familiar with the prophecies of Daniel regarding the abomination of desolation? Daniel is a favorite book of the Jews. Isaiah is another one, although they don't like Isaiah 53. That's one they skip over. Isaiah 53 is a text they skip over. They love the Psalms. They don't like Psalm 22. And, of course, all of these point to the Messiah. But in 167 B.C., a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes, who was the king of Syria, he desecrated the temple of Israel by personally setting up an altar to the god Zeus, pagan god Zeus, set up an idol there in the Holy of Holies in Israel, Jerusalem, and he sacrificed a pig there on that altar. Of course, a pig was an unclean animal to the Jews. But there is a dualism in that this historical event is a mirror of what the Antichrist will do as he sets himself up as God in the Holy of Holies of the Tribulation Temple. Now remember, the Tribulation Temple is not the Kingdom Temple. Jesus will build the Kingdom Temple. We talked the last week or a few weeks ago about the difference between biblical Zionism and political Zionism. What Israel is establishing right now and the rebuilding of the temple, which is already in process, is not biblical Zionism, that's political Zionism. The temple that will be built in the next few years will be destroyed during the tribulation time, and Jesus will build a new temple, from which he will reign. So the Antichrist presenting him to Israel as Christ, he presents himself to Israel as Christ, as a Messiah, is a transitional point in the 7 years of tribulation, in that the Antichrist will begin to take extreme control over the lives of people through his mark of the beast in Revelation 13, 17. So 11, 12, and 13 are pretty important chapters. Extreme control. So most believers will willingly, most unbelievers will willingly accept this mark, if for nothing more than utilitarian reasons, to be able to buy and sell. Now, most people, that's all they care about. They're not connected to any other reality besides just survival. Most people think survival in this life is the utmost priority of existence. I don't. I don't think my survival is that important. And of course, this is only true when one considers this existence the primary existence. It isn't. So look with me to Daniel chapter 8, verse 13. I'll ask you to stand if you're able, out of respect for God's word. Do not, you don't need to stand if you can. Daniel 8, verse 13. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation? Otherwise, desolation means you'll cause the tribulation temple to be deserted and abandoned by the Jews. This is just transgression of desolation. The whole tribulation temple will be completely deserted and abandoned by the Jews, even though they just built it. So, but the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. This is going to be the trodding underfoot of the Gentiles. Father God, as we bow before you this morning, we pray that you'd help us understand these things so we can better explain them to others. Lord, it's our desire to help believers know these things. And it's also our desire to help the lost to know these things, although they do not believe. We pray for those listening online today that they will hear in this message the great warnings of God and come to understand that we are on the brink of destruction, looking for the upper taker in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and listening for his trump. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, very obviously, we are very close to the beginning of the tribulation time. The first thing that we will know about this is that the trump will sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the Bible says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So we'll be out of here. The tribulation begins, and by the end of the first 3.5 years, 1/3 of the world's population has been destroyed. 1/3 of the world's ecological system is destroyed. The new Brown Deal will have been ushered in by God. Not the new Green Deal. The new Brown Deal will be ushered in by God. 1/3 of the sea is destroyed. 1/3 of the fresh water. 1/3 of the plants and animals. Ecological system of the world is destroyed. But that's not the end of it. That's just the beginning of God's judgment. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, we have further explanation of this abomination of desolation, which is about the mid-trib time. Actually, it's 30 days before the mid-trib. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's the 70th week of Daniel. And in the midst of the week, that's the middle of the tribulation time, he shall cause the sacrifice and abomination to cease. And for the ever overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. That is, the temple is going to be abandoned by the Jews. No more, all of this stuff is going to cease because the temple is going to be desecrated. Even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. In verse 31 of chapter 11. Giving it a little time to get there, although they were up on the screen. I like to hear the pages turn. An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength. Arms, of course, is people who are warriors. They shall pollute the sanctuary of strength and shall take away the daily sacrifice. And they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And now what this is, of course, is going to be a hologram of the Antichrist. I believe a hologram put up there. We'll look at some more of that later on. And then chapter 12, verse 11. We're looking at this chronologically down through the prophecy of Daniel. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate, that otherwise it defiles the temple is defiled, no sacrifices can be received there, because, and the priest, of course, all of it's defiled. Now look at this. There shall be 1,200 and how many? 90 days. Now how many, how long is the half of the tribulation? 1,260 days. So this is 30 days before mid-trib. Right? You see that there. So until the second coming is going to be 2,290 days, is before the second coming happens, after mid-trib, is 2,260 days. So this is going to happen exactly 30 days before the middle of the tribulation time. And of course, the middle of the tribulation is 2,260 days. So it appears that the Antichrist will set up, it says, Daniel 12:11, some image of himself in Holy of Holies, and this temple that John measures, that we've already read about. Now remember, we can know with specificity what God is doing. We cannot know all the details of it. It doesn't give us all that. We know that God's going to do this. We know the purpose that God does it for. But we don't know with specificity how it's all going to be accomplished. We can give projections on that, but all our projections are our opinions. And our opinions, we don't know whether our opinions are right or wrong, but we are. We try to give you the best evaluation we can. The Word of God has inspired my opinions or not. Okay, everybody agree? Okay, good. So, it is this act that is the abomination that maketh desolate. In doing so, he will present himself as God, as Messiah, and demand worship from everyone. We know that with specificity. Those with the knowledge of the Scripture will know that this is the Antichrist. When he sets up this image. We know that with specificity. They are told then to flee to the mountains. The image will probably be some type of holograph, probably be, now get that? Don't say pastor said it's going to be holograph. Say he thinks it might be. Some type of holograph, probably connected to some highly sophisticated AI, artificial intelligence, controlled by the Antichrist government. Otherwise, this will be a direct interface to go to computer system, a hyper computer system that is so sophisticated it will be able to communicate and record every transaction that goes on in the world. By the way, all that already is available. It just needs to connect it all. If you've ever bought or purchased anything at a store and you go home and you get an email, thank you for shopping at the store. And here's some other things we'd like to suggest that you buy based upon what you just bought. Right? You all been there. Because we all do that nowadays. We're all connected that way. Now, if you take every one of those institutions and connect them through one medium, that's as simple as it is. They already have the technology that connects all of this stuff and can connect it at all. And for all we know, it's already in place. Now, all of these things, when we think about all of these great truths, we must understand that Jesus has already spoken about these things. And when we come to Matthew 24, I want you to look at that text. I want you to make sure that you understand Matthew 24 is written to Jews. Who is it written to? Now, can we read it? Yeah, we can read it. Because why does he want us to read it? Because he wants us to be able to explain this text and understand it. But it's written primarily to Jews. But let me say farther, go a little farther. It's written primarily to Jews who are during the tribulation time. In fact, Matthew 24 is after the rapture. It's not about the rapture. You get into the last part of the text, it says, one shall be taken, the other left behind. The one shall be taken will be like those in the days of Noah. The one taken is what? Taken in judgment. The one left behind, what? They went into the kingdom age. So, of course, the concept here in this text is what's going on in the tribulation time. So in verses 15 it says, "When ye therefore see the abomination of desolation," the Jews will see it. Now you have to remember that this is a technological system. You won't have to be present to see it. It will be broadcast all over the world. I believe every network, you know, you have the president wants to talk. He doesn't have to stay in his basement now. He can actually come outside and talk. I liked it better when he was in the basement. I wish he'd stay there. But now we have all of this stuff going on. So you actually be able to see this. All the networks are broadcasted. It'll be all over the internet. "So when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place," when you see that, "whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then, when you see that, let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains." Otherwise, get out of town. This is a time when the persecution is really going to start coming against the Jews. Remember, the goal of the Antichrist is not to make peace with Israel. His goal is to annihilate the nation of Israel, to wipe it off the planet Earth, because this is his last stand. This is his last hope to break God's promise in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, because there is a twofold promise of redemption, the redemption of man and the redemption of lost dominion. And now, if he can destroy the nation of Israel, then the Messiah cannot return and establish the kingdom and reclaim dominion, the Adamic dominion, over the earth, over creation. In Mark 13, verse 14, he says something very similar. He says, "When ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, that otherwise that hologram is going to be standing where it ought not to be standing. Let him that readeth understand, let them be in Judea, flee to the mountains." So we get a little more information here in verse 14 of Mark 13. Now again, remember, Christ's words in Matthew 24, 15 and 16 and Mark 13, 14 are for the Jews living during the tribulation, not for church age believers. We won't be there and we won't be watching it. We'll be watching from heaven. That is, every time these seals and vials are open, we are commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ to come and see or to come and watch. Paul also warned of these things. And if these words are of comfort to a deceived church regarding the end times, it seems apparent that Paul would give them comfort with the words that would completely put away the matter of their going in the tribulation. But Paul does this in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. The lost Jews are going to be in the tribulation. All lost people. Now remember, the tribulation begins with only lost people on earth. No saved people will be on earth. The kingdom age begins with only saved people on earth. No lost people. All lost people are destroyed at the coming of Jesus. Church age ends. Tribulation begins. No saved people on earth. Not one. At the end of the tribulation and the beginning of the kingdom, only saved people will enter into the kingdom. That will be glorified people who return with Christ to heaven, and those people who get saved during the tribulation who will enter into the kingdom age in bodies like this body today. And that is what Paul refers to in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, and we know that as the blessed hope. The blessed hope. And I'm listening for that today. What am I listening for? "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." We know what that is. He gave that shout to John in Revelation 4. "Come up hither. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead," Here's the key phrase, in Christ, shall rise first. What's that mean? Only saved people will rise. In Christ. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now this is, otherwise we won't die. We'll be immediately glorified and go to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So, therefore the words of Paul regarding the man of sin are that he will not be revealed until after the saints depart in glory. We know that from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, or 2, verse 3. He says, let no man deceive you by any means. Now, what was one of the means that somebody was trying to deceive him? Somebody had sent a false epistle from the Apostle Paul saying that they had missed it and they were now in the tribulation. He said, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, an apostasy, and that man of sin be revealed. Now, what is that apostasy? How many are going to be start out in, how many saved people are going to start out in the tribulation? Zero. No saved people in the tribulation. They're all gone. They've been raptured. So that's just falling away. Now, so how does the tribulation begin in complete apostasy? And that man of sin be revealed. That's the Antichrist, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is God, is called God. That's what Paul calls the mystery of iniquity that doth already work. Or that is worship. So that he, as God, this is the abomination of desolation right here, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I knew some teenagers like that. And God had to take a few years to wake them up, right, that they weren't God. A lot of people do that today. They live like they're God. That is this guy. He's going to either pity him up. He's not only going to live like he's God, he's going to set himself up in the temple of God and proclaim to the world, I am Jehovah. I am Messiah. I am your God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Now most people will believe the lie and worship this image, willingly receiving his mark in their foreheads and hands. How do I know that? They'll do it there. I know it because I see it all around me every day. You do too. They receive their mark. You know, I had a friend that was a missionary in Africa for years. And he says, one of the most difficult things was when we won tribal people to Christ. They had the mark of their tribe in their guard, in their gods inscribed in their flesh with scarring. They would, at a certain age, they would scar themselves with a marking both of their tribe and their scars, or their God and their tribe. And this is when they were brought into maturity. They could now get married and those types of things. But the markings were there, and they get saved. And they would hate the markings. They would hate the scarrings on their body, but there was nothing they could do about it. And that, of course, the Maui people used tattoos. That was the mark of their gods. And that has passed into our culture. Now, people don't understand all of that. The ring in the ear was a sign that you were, one ear was a sign that you were a slave, and the other ear was a sign that you were a willful servant. That came into our culture. Nobody even knew what it meant. When I was a young boy, if you had a ring in your nose, it meant you were a pig. And now we see that all over the place today. It's no big deal. People wear that with pride. And what we used to have to go pay a quarter to go to a freak show to see some of this stuff, you just go to Walmart, sit in the parking lot. It's prevalent. Now, does that make me contemptuous towards these people? No, I just understand they need to get saved. They're just completely lost. And they don't know what they're doing. They have no idea. They're just doing it. People are always willing to conform to whatever they want to identify. And whatever culture you want to identify with, you're willing to become like that culture. And those are the same ones that claim and cry out nonconformity. Well, yet they look exactly like everyone else. Now, you go to a public school system today, and you walk in the front doors, and there'll be signs, nonconformity, and they all look exactly alike. Isn't that weird? And they think we're weird. Most people will believe the lion worshiped the image willingly, receiving this mark in their foreheads and in their hands. The primary goal of the lie is to deceive Jews into thinking the Antichrist is their promised Messiah. And the reason we know this is because this all takes place in the Jewish temple built just before or during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. And most of the world will not be favorable to rebuilding this temple, certainly not looking in faith to the Jewish Messiah. But remember, most Jews are not looking for a Jewish Messiah to be their savior of their souls. Just as in the times of Christ, they were looking for a Jewish Messiah to deliver them from bondage of Gentiles. And so they will accept this Messiah to that degree, but as soon as he declares himself to be God, they will turn from him. So therefore, the unbelieving world will accept this Antichrist and his mark for simply utilitarian survival reasons, disconnected from the religious beliefs in most part. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Go over there with me. Second Thessalonians 2:9. Even him whose coming is after the working of who? Satan. With all power. Whose power? Satan's power. And signs. Who are giving these signs? Satan's giving these signs. Lying wonders. Where are they coming from? They're coming from Satan. Otherwise, he is coming to deceive. He wants to come looking like God, to be accepted as God. Just as he promised all men at the fall of Adam, in the deception of Eve, you shall be as gods. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now what does that mean? That means they're going to want what he has to offer. They are longing for it. They're waiting for it. Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You reject the Bible, you'll accept everything else. Anything else. And that is what happens here. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Because they're already apostate. This is God gives them over to that reprobate mind. God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Otherwise, they've already rejected Christ, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, let me say this to you this morning. For people who have rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ, rejected the offer of free gift of salvation, God is long-suffering. But that long suffering will come to an end one day. Now, it won't just come to an end one day in the future. For some people, it can come to an end right now in their life. Because God eventually will say, that's enough. I've done all I can. You harden your heart to the things of God. Eventually, your conscience becomes seared. And you become insensitive to the things of God. What once pricked you in the heart and caused your, maybe even just to give you a rise of a fire in the neck and you began to blush. That doesn't happen anymore. We see it in the world today as we see Christians today who once blushed over certain things no longer blush. They have what the Bible calls a harlot's forehead. They don't blush over the things that once they blushed. They become so common. They're discussed so openly today that the things that God said, there's some things that that Paul said, I'm not even supposed to talk about these things. They're so bad. Today, they're open discussion. I will never understand how parents can send themselves into a school system, send their children into the school system, where they are bombarded with the things that they are bombarded with every single day. Most parents couldn't sustain spirituality in that environment, let alone little children. Go with me to Revelation 13. Now we're transitioning back from chapter 11 and chapter 13 to two things. We're looking at the rise of the Antichrist, the abomination of desolation, the coming of the two witnesses, and of course the power that is rising up now, the Antichrist, at the end of the tribulation, or at the middle of the tribulation time. He's going to increase in power enormously. And this is when the one world government finally becomes into power. Now remember, I don't care who runs for president. If they are nationalist, they will be opposed and hated. If they are globalist, they will be supported and loved. I don't care who it is. I don't care what name they have on them. I don't, you know, the reason Trump was hated and is hated, because he was a nationalist. And he opposed globalism. He did so on every front. And that's why he was hated. And he was hated even by Republicans who also were globalists. The Bush family, of course, were all globalists, trilateralists. So you have a major part of the Republican Party who are globalists, and you have a small minority of them. And you have even a few blue dog Democrats who oppose globalism, but they're so few as they get pushed back into the corner. So it's not a party issue, a political issue. It's simply what we're seeing at the end times. We are seeing a rapid advancement of globalism and a push for globalism, and everything in the political agenda is centered upon that. They've captured our colleges. They've captured the judicial system of our country, at least especially in the lower courts. They have captured most of our political system in that arena, and it continues to go on. Otherwise, are you surprised we're going to have a new world order? Well, no, I'm not surprised. I've read the end of the book. I've been preaching about it for 50 years. I've watched it develop. It's not going to get any better. It's going to happen. Political activism won't stop it. Not going to stop it. There are those who, the amillennialists, say, well, all you fundamentalists, you're just trying to rescue as many as before the boat sinks. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. The boat is sinking. That's inevitable. Look at Revelation 13:11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. This is the false prophet. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. That's who he's empowered. He's politically empowered. And causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. Otherwise, he is a religious apostate who causes people to worship. Otherwise, he declares the first beast to be their god. So now we have religion and politics married. And of course, in that we see the trilateralism coming together. God will divide trilateralism later on. And so he says, and then them which dwell on the earth to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, and that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. He's going to be wounded in the head. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should speak and cause. Now remember, giving life to the image. Not the beast. and causes that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed, and causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he have that he that hath that mark, or name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that understandeth count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Is the church here? Are believers here? Oh, there's some believers here, but the church is gone. They're raptured. So do you have to worry about taking the number of the beast? No. You'll be out of here by then. But those here during this particular time, they're going to understand what this is going on. And so, what's going on with all of the stuff in this country is bizarre. I mean, it's gotten to the place where we don't know who to believe. You know, it is, I don't believe anyone anymore. I have a medical question. I have a couple of doctor friends who are Christians, and I contact them and I say, what do you think? And they tell me. And I believe them. And I guarantee you that what they have to say is not good. Most of this stuff is pretty scary, but it has nothing to do with the number of the beast. At least not yet. Now, Revelation 13, 11 through 18 details the false prophet encouraging people to worship the image of the beast. Now, that's important, the image of the beast, because the image will be broadcast everywhere. You'll be able to go anywhere. Maybe at the stoplights, as you stop at a stoplight, there'll be an image of the hologram of the beast that'll come up above the stoplight. Who knows? Could be anywhere. One that will, project on the wall of your home out of your TV. Whatever it might be all over the place. The false prophet will use signs and wonders and apparent miracles to deceive people into believing the beast is God. Now we're going to see the signs and wonder movement like you've never seen it before in this world. We saw that rise up in the 50s and the 60s, the signs and wonder movement, Pentecostalism. And now we'll see it again. For those who resist, he will coerce them by withholding their right to buy or sell. In other words, they will not be allowed to earn a living, buy necessities, and eventually whatever you have stored away is going to be gone. So, by the way, rapture takes place, then begins the tribulation. So don't go out and start buying up a whole bunch of stuff, filling your freezer and refrigerator. You don't need it. In fact, all of that stuff they'll be able to have after you're gone. I told one Methodist pastor, I said, he told me how much he liked my house. I said, well, right after the rapture, you're welcome to it. You can have it. So, we have to understand that the transitions here. So understanding all of these deceptive methods of the Antichrist, that doesn't mean I believe all Methodist pastors are lost, by the way. I believe there are some that are saved. I had a Methodist pastor I believe was a saved man when I was a boy. So methods of the Antichrist, of his false prophet, give us a reason of God must send forth two witnesses with greater powers and true miracles. False miracles are going to be preeminent. Just like the false miracles of those of the magicians of Pharaoh, God sent forth Moses with true miracles. And these plagues are going to come upon the world. But these two witnesses are going to come forth. And they're going to come forth, continues to manifest, of course, the ongoing long-suffering of God, even during this time of judgment upon the nations for persecuting the Jews, resisting his witnesses in the church age, believers who preach the gospel of Jesus Christ into all the world. And although the testimony of these two witnesses directed primarily to the Jews in Israel, their fame will be broadcast all over the world, and many of all nations will trust in Christ and reject the testimony of the false prophet. And we have a false prophet who will be standing up and proclaiming to the world, yes, he's the one, yes, he's the one. And he'll be offering all kinds of false miracles and great things to prove that he is a so-called prophet of God. But two great prophets of God will come. And they'll have even more wondrous powers. And they will say, no, he's not the one. Jesus is the one, and he's not here yet, but he's coming. Get saved. Trust in him. And they would preach the gospel of the kingdom. What is that? Repent of sin and dead works. Believe that God's wrath has been once for all, forever satisfied in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that every sin you have ever committed, the penalty of that sin has been remitted when you will believe in Jesus Christ. Believe that God wants to gift to you his righteousness, that is justification. Confess that Jesus Christ is God, Jehovah, incarnate in human flesh with your mouth, and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus to be saved. And he promises, for whosoever shall call shall be saved. And when you call, you will receive that gift of righteousness in the person of the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's a message. That's a message we're preaching right now. That's the message these two great witnesses will preach. And they'll prove to the world that they are the Messiah's prophets. And a large part of the world will see revival. While we're in heaven, we'll watch revival take place on earth during those last 2.5 years. There'll be more people getting saved around the world than we can imagine at the miracle of these. The people who are opposed, these men, they'll try to kill them. Those who come to oppose them, fire will come out of their mouth and they'll be devoured. They'll try to kill them, and the God will just raise them back up to live again. And over again. How many times can you kill someone and they raise back up? As many as you need with God. Because remember, we all just start as pieces of clay anyway. That's all Adam started with. So understand, our mission today is no different than the mission of these great witnesses. We are coming to the end, my friends. The end of the church age. And all of those people that we love and want to see get saved, they're going to enter into that tribulation. And 1/3 of them will die, but their death is not the end. They will die and go to hell without Christ. And then in the second half of the tribulation, another 1/3 will die. And by the end of it, all lost people on planet Earth will be dead. And the kingdom age will start only with glorified beings and born again people. We have a small window of opportunity right now. We are living in the days of Noah. And we have just the same responsibility as Noah. I appreciate the fact that when Noah was building that ark for 100 and some years, that he preached the gospel every day. I imagine he made that construction project of that ark, which was an enormous project. He made that his platform. And people came all the time and said, here's this crazy guy building an ark because it's going to rain. It's never rained before. And here he is. He's this crazy guy. He's out here and he's preaching, repent, get saved. But none of them did. But the great truth is, Noah was faithful. See, don't have to worry about the fruit. Just plant the seed. Let God take care of the fruit. Plant the seed. We invite you to be saved today. If you're here, if you're a Christian and you're not actively engaged in winning souls, making disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ, get busy. I don't care if you've been failed for the last 20 years or 30 years. Today is a new day and a new beginning, and you can start again today. Find someone. Find one person you can help. Find one person. And focus on that one person. Father God, as we bow and close our time together this morning, we're thankful for your word. Lord, it is a fearful day ahead. And we fear you, not for ourselves, for we fear those who don't know enough to fear you. And Lord, we pray for their souls today. We pray that you'd open their hearts to hear Lord, I don't pray so much whatever it takes, because I know you're going to do whatever it takes. And I pray, Lord, that you would help and work in the lives of people, and that we would be available to use you. In Jesus' name.